Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Welcome to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Andrew McKay is on assignment this week, enjoying a well-earned week off of vacation. I'm with you today, and there's a host of wonderful folks that'll be filling in for Andrew this week. This morning, Monday morning, it is St. Patrick's Day. I see that both of us are decked out in nothing but green as we are prepared for St. Patrick's Day today.
I'm very prepared. I just want you to know that.
Over the weekend, we had the weather storm, which for luckily for us was much ado about nothing. Many areas through the north of us, Midwest, South, all the way up to Illinois. Some rough weekend of weather here in the Pensacola area, though luckily we survived it. It is Monday, one of the great sports months that the United States has. NCAA brackets were announced yesterday. The Florida Gators, SEC basketball champions. Go Gators for those Gator fans out there. Brackets introduced. We get the NCAA tournament, which is then immediately followed by the Masters and the Kentucky Derby and baseball opens. So those spring baseball fans, sports fans, rejoice today, as this is your month of joy. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit of a report card on President Trump. We are about halfway through the, you know, very talked about first 100 days of a presidential run, where the long-held belief is the first 100 days of your presidency is your opportunity to get things done. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to have Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender join us. So we have a couple of elections here that are in local elections that are going to be happening. We're going to be voting to replace Matt Gaetz in the next couple of weeks. But early voting is going to begin this week. House District 3, Santa Rosa County, North Okaloosa County, I believe. Those folks are going to be voting to replace Representative Joel Rudman, who attempted to run for Congress and was defeated by CFO Jimmy Patronis. And then I believe we have some municipal elections that are happening up north in Century. That'll be happening on April 1st. Early voting will be starting, I believe, on Saturday. Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender will join us to talk about that. And one of the large subjects that I'm going to kind of talk about throughout the morning is how Escambia County progresses. There's been lots of issues. Kind of one thing when I've been on the wrap with Andrew that I kind of talk about a lot is we seem to fail to move things forward. And why is that? I do believe that one issue that makes it very challenging for our Escambia County commissioners to come to agreement on things is the need for every conversation that they had to be held in the sunshine. I am a proponent of the sunshine. I don't like the idea of the backroom deals, but I also see the reality that the first time that you're having a conversation on which of these bids on OLF 8 are we going to have, which of these dealings with the bluffs are we going to have, which of these dealings on where do we put our poker room, all of these issues that seem to plague our county that have happened, what do we do with TDC money over the past 10 years now? I think a key component of that is the sunshine laws that we have in Florida that do protect us somewhat from people acting inappropriately and using their power inappropriately, but it also impedes progress. Because when you're having to have conversations on controversial subjects or subjects that you may have constituents that don't like, and the first time you have those conversations, you have to do them in front of the public, I think it does do something to make it harder to come to a point of any kind of consensus, because you're having to be very guarded with your words because the whole world can see you, and sometimes tough decisions have to be made in private conversations. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We also always love to hear from you. You can text us at 850-437-1620. Did I get that right? I should be an old pro at this point, but I am not. You can text us. We love to hear from you throughout the morning, what you think, what's going on, what's in your world. How are you beginning? How much green are you wearing today? Are you prepared? Are we allowed to pinch people? Is that allowed in our current society of being very protective about ourselves?
You know what? I'm kind of torn on that one because, you know, if it's a pretty girl, hey, go ahead. But, you know, I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I think that it's got to be... A, I think the correct answer is to cover yourself. Probably the answer is no.
Okay,
but
yes.
But if it's somebody you know, somebody, I do think that you take some of the joy out of things. I don't know how much joy there is in pinching people on St. Patrick's Day, but now, I do think that you take some of it out of it by...
Does the green have to be visible?
I mean, a lot of people, I've always gotten away with
there's this rule, yeah.
I've always gotten away with the green underwear.
That's... Yeah, I mean, that's what I have.
Yeah, and you know, it's you can pull up just a little bit just to let them know. Yeah, so it's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. May Irish eyes smile upon you. I am Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were thinking about buying a Honda Odyssey, and we had about 6 months we figured left on the main gasket, head gasket for our Grand Caravan, and we just wanted to test drive an Odyssey to make sure it's what we wanted. Nobody had one. It just was the wrong age for the pre-owned certifieds, and it was a whole mess. We couldn't find one to test drive, but we knew we wanted to make sure what we were going to buy eventually. Well, Frontier had one, and we test drove it, and we loved it. And they said, do you want to look at a price? And we didn't want to be rude and say no, so we looked at the price. We're like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Can you come down a little bit? And they said, yes. We said, well, can you give us a day? And they said, yes. We said, can you come down a little bit more? And they said, yes. And we said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. I mean, it was that easy. And we wound up buying a one-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it that had come back from an auction in Orlando because the dealership there couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And we got a great deal on an outstanding car that we have loved ever since. And we didn't go to buy a car. We just went to look at it, and we couldn't say no once we saw what they had. That's how easy it is to find good quality cars at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back. I'm Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. When I woke up this morning, I checked my social media like I guess most Americans do these days, and I saw an article that I found to be pretty interesting, pretty entertaining. I don't know if sometimes you get bills in the state legislature and it's hard to tell what is a real bill, what is a fake bill that's just kind of meant to drum up support or troll supporters. But in the state of Minnesota, in the state legislature, there is a bill that is up that is going to add Trump derangement syndrome to the list of mental health symptoms, diseases that somebody may have. So
I just, okay. I mean, it really just hit me what you said. So that's Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
In Minnesota, you can, if this bill were to become law, in their various lists of mental health, you know, things you can be diagnosed with, you could officially be diagnosed and treated for Trump derangement syndrome. And the symptoms that they list are pretty funny. It is, you know, you have a pathology towards to be anti anything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. And it had a list of like very specific medical symptoms that are associated with the diagnosis of Trump derangement syndrome.
Interesting.
And I found it to be just, you see these pieces of legislation that come up every once in a while that you don't know exactly how they got passed. There was one here in Florida that I don't necessarily know is something that could happen today, but maybe 10 years from now, the way technology is advancing, that would ban anybody from being able to create technology that controls the weather. And it was one of those that seemed more based out of responding to conspiracy than actual any ability to control the weather. Because I think if we could control weather, weekends like this past weekend probably would not happen, not in our community, but in other communities throughout the country. We would definitely not have hurricanes come through and do lots of damage to everything. But I do believe that it's at least somewhat humorous that a state legislature is considering a piece of legislation to add Trump derangement syndrome to the list of mental health afflictions that affect people who are in the state of Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I mean, you miss the sun. You're inside a lot, I guess. You're cold.
I guess, man. I was really trying to figure this one out.
Yeah,
I guess
it
that's
is.
A good excuse for Mental Health Day.
Yeah. Oh, hell. Yes. I'm going to see here this article. It's gonna amend statutes 245-462. And 245I.02 to include Trump derangement syndrome alongside other mental health issues. And I think there'll be.
I'm speechless.
And I think there. What I would find to be more interesting is I have heard lots of people talk about Trump derangement syndrome. I can understand the idea of it, but what does that treatment look like? What does treatment for Trump derangement syndrome look like?
Lots of alcohol. Like. Here you go, son. I'm prescribing you alcohol.
Yeah, is it watching, you know, clips of Donald Trump and growing tolerance over time? I'm not exactly sure what the legislation is and what the treatment would be, but it's out there, and I find it to be entertaining that somebody thought that was necessary.
As a bill.
As a bill.
In the legislature.
In the legislature. Somebody gets to go home to their constituent. And I bet the constituents that he has probably are eating it up.
Probably. But, I think they're like, oh, we need it.
Yeah, absolutely. luckily, we don't have anything like that here in the state of Florida yet. But give them time. They may have an interest in. They may have an interest in bringing that forward here. It is interesting because I do think that they're. While that idea is comical, I do think that it does speak to something that Donald Trump creates an immense divide in our country, more so than any president, maybe going back to FDR, where people so strongly believe one way or the other about him that the minute his name comes up, it just causes this to happen. And later on, when we talk about kind of the report card on Trump, one thing I would like to bring up is there are things that he is doing that are good for everybody. There are things, and people have to accept that. There are things that are highly questionable that the people who are Trump is great all the time also have to be willing to question. But not everything that he does is going to be the worst thing that has ever happened. It is 5:25 in the morning. I think it's about time for our first part this morning, this week, to head over to David Wayne in the newsroom with headlines.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Taking a look at a couple of our headlines this morning. Boy, those storms on Saturday, a lot of damage from those. They laid waste to parts of the South and the Midwest, being blamed now for dozens of deaths. Preliminary reports indicate the majority of the deaths happened in Missouri. At least 12 people there were killed. The Secretary of the Treasury says he is not worried about recent stock market losses over uncertainty about tariffs. On NBC's Meet the Press, Scott Bessent said that the president is just correcting the dangerous policies of the Biden administration. And he also said he does not expect there to be a major financial crisis. And Facebook's parent company, Meta, says that they're going to be testing their community notes feature this week. CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced back in January he was moving away from fact-checking and switching over to user-based content moderation that's similar to what's used on X. Meta says over 200,000 users have already signed up to contribute to their community notes feature.
Thank you very much, David. As we are beginning to talk more and more about the beginning of Donald Trump's presidency, we are about halfway through the first 100 days. I think the thing that has been there are two major components of what his presidency is so far. The first one is Doge, Elon Musk, the going in and the cutting down on the size of government. And the other one is the two large foreign battles going on around the world in Ukraine and Russia, and then secondly in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. The first thing that I'd like to talk about is kind of the Doge thing. I have been more of an advocate of going in with a scalpel versus the large-scale layoffs that are happening. I don't appreciate the manner in which they have gone about cutting the size of government. I am a favor of cutting the size of government. But the one thing that I think is interesting, and I think that we saw this over the weekend, and we're going to continue to see this, is anytime anything happens, the response is going to directly come back to the government cuts. This weekend, we had weather issues throughout the country. The response is going to be, well, we just cut all these people at NOAA. How did that affect our responsibility to respond to the weather? If we cut even at a local level, let's say we cut 20 administrators from the Escambia County School District. The response that the school district is going to have that's trying to protect their resources is, why are you taking teachers out of classrooms? They're going to go to the thing that is the largest, biggest group of what they do to kind of talk about how these cuts are dangerous. The response is going to be in who are these people that are being cut out of NOAA? Are they climate change scientists? Are they people who are getting grants? Are they people who are, you know, the hurricane hunters that are in the plane? We don't know who the people are, and there's no transparency on the people are. So we're getting the ability from the agencies that are being cut to frame how the cuts are going to affect us as the taxpayers. And I think it's very interesting. I think that the cuts are, when I was here on the wrap a couple weeks ago with Andrew, we've always talked about waste, fraud, and abuse. It's been talked about since I worked in Congress 30 years ago. They talked about waste, fraud, and abuse. And we always talked about how we're going to get at waste, fraud, and abuse. Obamacare, how they talked about regularly, they were going to fund Obamacare was by finding the waste, fraud, and abuse in the healthcare system, and those finding that pot of money was going to offset the giant cost of what this is. I think the way that the president is going about it is possibly the right way to do it because nobody has ever really tried to do it. And even the small amount of time he has been doing it has created tremendous pushback from government on his doing it. Some of that, I think, is very warranted. There are definitely certain aspects of the government that I don't want cut, things that deal with the defense, cybersecurity, those kind of things that are essential functions of government that make me safe, I don't want to see cut. I am sad to see the National Park Service cut. I am sad to see the people cut that are at Fort Pickens. But there's a difference in serving those essential functions of government. And we'll keep talking about this throughout the morning. My name is Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.
It's unclear whether the Trump administration defied a federal judge's order by deporting 137 migrants to El Salvador under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798.
The act has only been invoked three other times in American history. On Saturday, a federal judge ordered the Trump administration to stop the deportations to see if its invocation was legal. But the White House says two planes carrying alleged Venezuelan gang members were already in international airspace when the judge's ruling came down, so they argue they did not defy a court order.
Fox's Madeline Rivera in D.C., the judge had said any planes in the air should be turned around. At least 36 deaths are reported in a multi-day, multi-state severe weather outbreak.
This tornado outbreak started on Friday and lasted 3 days. We know it led to 53 total confirmed tornadoes so far. That number is expected to rise. That's in at least 10 states in the Midwest and the South.
Fox Weather's Katie Byrne in Gordo, Alabama. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 46 degrees. It is clear this morning in Pensacola. Church in Atmore burned down during the storms on Saturday, apparently following more than 50 lightning strikes in the area. The First Presbyterian Church went up in flames shortly after the lightning was reported.
We've got so many good people that attend church here that will be here in the morning, well, later today, looking for a sermon and a church service. It's difficult to share the future right now since we're not sure. The only thing we know that's in our future is rebuilding our church, getting our people back in that building.
And that is church elder Stephen Shirley there. Now, the fire did not stop their church services on Sunday morning. They still happened on the lawn. The church says their first goal is to find a temporary location until they can rebuild, and the church does believe that could take some time, around a year. Well, police in Daphne are looking for a missing 64-year-old. Officers say 64-year-old Kathleen Lazarek may be living with a medical condition that could impair her judgment. She was last seen in Daphne on Saturday night about 8:30 p.m. Photos have been posted on the Daphne Police social media pages. If you have any information, they are asking you to contact them with that. A women's homeless camp in Escambia County may be relocating to a private lot in Pensacola's city limits. The News Journal reports that Offensive plans to move their Camp O to an undeveloped site off Hickory Street. Offensive's founder Brad Bishop says their new camp would feature amenities like bathrooms, security, and self-defense classes to help women transition off of the streets. Offensive is hoping to create a low-barrier refuge for those recovering from addiction and escaping domestic violence. Well, Milton's Rotary Club made a big donation to Magdalene's recently. That's a nonprofit that helps to raise awareness about sex trafficking and supports survivors in Northwest Florida. Executive Director Angie Ishii said its community partnerships are crucial in this fight. She said the money will help provide job skills and support for trafficking survivors. Three people, including a child, have died after a wrong-way crash in Osceola County. FHP says a pickup truck that was going the wrong way collided with an SUV yesterday. The SUV went off the road and flipped. Three people, in the SUV died. One of them was a 5-year-old boy. The search for a missing diver in Broward County has met a sad end. The Coast Guard announcing yesterday they've suspended the search for Jack Levine, a 24-year-old diver that went missing Saturday a few miles off of Pompano Beach. The Coast Guard says they searched 1,500 square miles, but there was no sign of Levine. And it is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Beautiful and sunny for today with a high near 67 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping that sunshine around for Tuesday with a high near 69 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 49. For Wednesday, sunny skies again with a high near 73 and a low near 55. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we do have 46 degrees in both Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 47 reported in Milton. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors will be parsing through the upcoming economic data for any signs of an economic slowdown. The U.S. retail sales report is set to release this morning will give insight into the state of the consumer. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect retail sales to have increased 0.6% in February. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Oil prices traded higher this morning after the United States vowed to keep attacking Yemen's Houthis until the Iran-aligned group ends its assaults on ships in the Red Sea. Brent futures rose 0.7% to $71.06 a barrel, while U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude futures also rose 0.7% to $67.65 a barrel. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro has announced Sharon Regional Medical Center is preparing to reopen tomorrow, pending the transfer of the hospital license to new owners, Tenor Health Foundation Sharon LLC. The hospital closed January 6th as part of a financial restructuring. Futures are moderately lower. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate about Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty is they do all these little things, and all the little things add up to big differences in the results. And there's one kind of example of that that's always stuck with me that Christina told me about. And she says, look, when somebody comes and looks at one of my houses and they don't make an offer, what I do is I call the agent and I say, you know, hey, I saw the person looked at the house and, you know, didn't make an offer. What did they think? Or what didn't they like? Or, you know, what happened? And then let them talk. And they'll say, well, the price was too high. Or they'll say, I, you know, it didn't fit my family's needs. Or I didn't like the layout of the living room. Or, you know, whatever. And then what Christina learns from that is what might be the impediments that knowing this can help her sell that house in the future. Or, oh, well, we can fix that. If we fix that, would they be interested? Maybe they would be. You might even be able to turn it into a sale. I mean, that's a little thing. It's sort of obvious. Everybody should do it. But she actually does that. And it's all those little things that make for big results. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. One thing that happened over the weekend that you may have missed if you were caught up in life or basketball and spring break and heading out of town and doing all the things. Elon Musk is a lot of things. He is very proud of himself. He is a lot of things. He also is at least the heavy financial investor in SpaceX. Over the weekend, SpaceX successfully launched their rocket, the Falcon X, to go up to the International Space Station to retrieve the two U.S. astronauts who had been up on a Boeing space shuttle, space vehicle that wasn't able to come back home. So SpaceX successfully launched, got up to the International Space Station over the weekend. They have docked with the International Space Station. They are doing the paperwork and doing the things that are necessary to turn over the International Space Station from one crew to the next crew. And in the next few days, those astronauts who have been up there, I think they were supposed to be up there for like a week, and they're
supposed to be a 2-week cruise.
Yeah, they're on their Gilligan's Island
That's all I could think of. Yeah, was they're, like 3-hour tour.
They're like 3 or 4 months into their 2-hour cruise. But I am sure they are looking forward to coming home and perhaps splashing down in the Gulf here in Pensacola, like they have the last couple of times they've come home. The last time the astronaut, one of them ended up at Sacred Heart Hospital.
That's really cool. I mean, we've got a local tie too.
Yeah, we do. But I do think that this is a great story. It's a tremendous story. But as we are talking about shrinking the size of government, as we are talking about doing those things that Doge is in the process of doing right now, folks who sat around a table like this when I was a child, one of my most vivid memories as a child was being in the third grade, wheeling in the television so that we could watch the first teacher in space go into outer space, and the Challenger space shuttle blew up, which at that point in time really was the beginning of the end of NASA as we knew it previously. And folks who sat around and did morning talk shows and those kind of things probably lamented that this is the end of space exploration, because nobody could ever envision private enterprise taking over that role of launching vehicles into space. It was too big to imagine that was possible. And now we have multiple companies who are seeking to take over that role of being the company that can launch into space. And so we have companies that deliver to your house every day. Is there a need for the Postal Service? I see the Amazon truck 6 times a day driving through my neighborhood. Could Amazon become the new mail delivery service? And I can tell you that 90% of what I get, 98% of what I get in the mail are things that I don't need. It used to be things that you would check the mail every day. Now I check the mail like every 5 to 6 days because it's just things that I don't ever really need, because everything comes in email or other things like that. But when people talk about getting rid of services like this, 30, 40 years ago, we couldn't have imagined any private entity doing what NASA does. And yet today, We have multiple entities that are doing that, and one of those entities just went up to rescue scientists from an international space station that was built by many international, you know, people coming together. It's a very complicated process that yet somehow private enterprise is figuring out how to do this. And this has been in place long before Elon Musk and Trump became BFFs forever. This has been in place before that. And our first astronauts that went to space, I believe, went up. Did they go up during Trump or Biden when they went back up? I think it was during Biden, but it may have been Trump. Because I think it's only been a few years. But this happened before this current Trump administration. Regardless, SpaceX going back into space, taking American astronauts back into space, back to the ISS. Because previously when they've been getting there, they've been hitching rides with other folks. Anyway, I do think it is a tremendous American industry, American ingenuity should give itself a pat on the back, because today they have gone up to the International Space Station. In a few days, they will have brought some astronauts home who were stranded up there who couldn't get home. So wonderful for them. I'm very happy. It is 5:45 in the morning. I am Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed. And the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
At Pinair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinair Credit Union, because at Pinair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pinair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay. It is St. Patrick's Day. It is the first day of spring break for most of you that have kids. I know that I do. My daughter is on spring break this week and living her best life.
And my son is too.
Yeah.
Oh, he's enjoying it already. He's sleeping in. And I wanted to really wake him up this morning before I left. And I was like, well, not at 4 o'clock in the morning, but Yeah,
I am lucky. I have a tremendous kid. She is wonderful. She does her homework. She gets up and gets herself showered and going. And we've had a big move from third grade to fourth grade. And she has handled it like a champ. And so it's a blessing, and she's thoroughly enjoying her spring break, and it's she's kind of gotten to that age where she's old enough that we can leave her at home a little bit. And we weren't going to do the cell phone thing, but then we decided once we were leaving her home by herself, we wanted her to be able to communicate with us. And it's entered into a whole different world of my relationship with her, as now I text with my daughter. And her version of texting is a lot of memes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But
just like my son. Yeah.
But it is wonderful to be able to have these semi-adult conversations with my four-year-old or my fourth grader that's kind of like, hey, can you do A, B, and C? Yes, I've got it handled. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And to do these things in real time is crazy. But enjoy your spring break. The weather's going to be beautiful for the next couple of days. It's going to be tremendous getting out to the beach. It was beautiful yesterday. As my friend Todd Thompson likes to say, it was a Chamber of Commerce day out in the beach here in Escambia County. One thing that we can do and that we should do is we should check in with our Pensacola area, Escambia area legislators with what their legislation is. I think one of the biggest and most talked about pieces of legislation, there's a couple of them. We'll talk about one now, one a little bit later on, as Representative Michelle Salzman has a bill that would roll back the some of the gun restrictions that were put into place after the Marjorie Stoneman shooting. The largest of those is to change the age by which you would need to buy a handgun from 21 back to 18. That bill got through committees last week. I think that they should be hitting the main. I think that bill has one more committee to get through, and then it should be hitting the main going through the House and then the Senate. But I also saw that the Attorney General, James Utmeyer, thought that he would not be looking to aggressively prosecute those cases that had to do with 19, 20-year-olds who have no other legal issues in their background. If they were found with a handgun, he's not looking to prosecute people who, by other – now, obviously, if an 18-year-old is using a handgun in an act of a crime, that's a different story than an 18-year-old who just happens to own a handgun. But it will be interesting to see if those restrictions get rolled back. I am a proud supporter of the Second Amendment, and I also believe that once you are 18 and we give you a gun to go serve in the military overseas, you should be allowed to own a gun in your own home. Just that little piece of information doesn't make a ton of sense to me, that we'll give you a handgun, put you on a plane, send you overseas, but the idea of you having a gun in your own house to protect your own home, well, you're not 21, you're not capable of being able to do that. But we'll give you a gun, maybe let you drive a tank, do all kinds of things in places that aren't here at the house. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me. So we will see what happens as Representative Salzman's piece of legislation continues to move through both chambers. But I highly suspect that that piece of legislation is going to sail through, and it will be a good win for Representative Salzman and for 18 to 21-year-olds throughout the state of Florida who might want to own a handgun that they can protect their homes with, because I think that once you're 18, once you can vote, once you can do all of the things, that is the age by which you should be allowed to own your own handgun. Representative Andrade also has some key pieces of legislation. So does our new Senator Don Gates. He passed some property insurance reform through his committee last week, got some Democratic help to do that, but I know all of us would love to see some help with our property insurance rates as they continue to skyrocket throughout the country. I think it is time to head back over to David Wayne in the newsroom. David, how are you this morning?
Doing well, gentlemen. Glad to be here. President Trump says he'll be speaking to Russian President Vladimir Putin tomorrow about ending the war in Ukraine. He told reporters a lot of work was done over the weekend. Defense and security editor at The Guardian, Dan Sabah, says that Russia may not be ready yet to stop with all the fighting.
The one thing that's stopping that from happening is there's a tiny bit of Russia proper, if you like, that Ukraine occupies in Kursk province. The key point moment to watch might be when the Russians squeeze them out of Kursk.
And U.S. military officials are predicting that Russia could retake Kursk very soon. The Canadian ambassador to the U.S. is insisting that the countries are still very close allies. This is despite all of the recent trade disagreements. Kirsten Hillman was on Fox News over the weekend. She said after recent meetings between officials from the two countries, she's expecting some big announcements that will impact the tariffs in the next month. Hillman also said that she does not believe Canada will become the 51st state, saying that the majority of Canadians do not support that. And we've got some good egg news, gentlemen. Prices Yay. Are coming down, apparently. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reporting the national average wholesale price for a dozen eggs dropped $2.70 last week, now at $4.15.
Boy, it's like gas prices, you know? That's what I feel like sometimes.
What's going up faster, eggs or gas? That's right. The real real consumer price index we need here.
Thank you, David.
Anytime.
as I was going to bed last night and thinking about things that I was going to say this morning, that's funny. I would just randomly, the thought popped into my head. Do you remember the guy who was running for mayor and he's like, the price of rent is too darn high?
Yes.
The price of the eggs are too darn high. I was in a CVS over the weekend, and the price of a dozen eggs at CVS was over $10. And I know that that's not the place that you go to buy eggs, and they're an impulse buy. They're going to be more expensive. But $10 is a little much. Even at the Walmart, I think they're $7, $8 for a dozen at the moment. So
a golden hen there.
That's right. I think that is an issue that President Trump is obviously campaigned hard on inflation. And tariffs are not going to help that. And I think that tariffs may ultimately be a wonderful answer to how our government funds itself. However, like a lot of things, there's going to be some pain before you get to the end of what that looks like. Anytime you go and you make a massive change in anything, there's going to be pain before there's results. You decide, I'm going to try to run a 5K. The first time you go out and run a 0.3K, there's a lot of pain.
There is.
And eventually, that pain turns to success. As you move forward, you can continue to do it, all those kind of things. But I think that the tariff issue is something that is going to continue to cause some pain and cause some prices to go up, cause some inflation before you see things. It'll be interesting to see how much tolerance the president has for that inflation, because I do believe that President Trump, he kind of operates in a vacuum. Every issue is independent. He is a deal maker, so he sees everything independently. However, the one thing that he has talked about, going back to those like 1980s interviews when he was younger and he was doing the things with Oprah and the people, he always talked about trade. He always talked about the trade imbalances and tariffs. And so I do think that tariffs is something that is really actually something that is one of his core beliefs. It is the one thing that he has talked about when he was 30, 40, 60 on forward are tariffs. And I do believe that trade and trade imbalances are something that are very, very critical to what he believes. And so I think that it is something that we will continue to see how much tolerance he has for this as the inflation continues to come up, because that was, in my opinion, one of the absolute key things that he ran against when he ran against Vice President Harris and Biden, the administration, was how out of line the economy was, and things have not changed dramatically since he gotten in. He needs time, but it will continue to be very fascinating to see how much tolerance he has as he's trying to institute the tariffs. And you've seen him kind of do it and roll it back, do it and roll it back, because he's trying to find the right way to do it that the markets don't overreact to it. And I think he's also trying to, maybe we get increase in tariffs of 10 to 15% as opposed to 50, 100, 200. You know, it's steel, foreign liquor that he wants to tariff, energy, milk that comes in from Canada. It's very selective markets, a lot of things used in auto manufacturing. And there have been successes. There have been numerous businesses that have chosen to relocate future growth from overseas to the United States. And that's the benefit. But you've got to get those businesses built. You've got to get those workers hired. You've got to get wages to be more competitive. And that's the long-term positiveness that he is trying to create. But you're going to have the tariffs that are going to drive prices high to encourage companies to build here to drive wages. And then over time, that balances out. We've just never had a president who is willing to go through that much of a process, because we are such, particularly now more than ever, we want immediate. We want, you did this now, it caused this today. And when you have something that takes long-term needs, it's going to take a lot of gumption to follow through, and we will see if President Trump has the ability to do that. I am Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.